Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Well, it's always such a treat to have you join in the broadcast. We enjoy the opportunity to bring you great conversations and just to learn a bit, grow in our faith, and just to be encouraged as we learn more about God's love and faithfulness and mercy and how we can live out those characteristics of love, joy, and peace, patience, perseverance, all those things every day. I'm Neil Stavem, host of the program, Ted Ross at the controls. And Ted, Thanksgiving coming up. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, you're excited, aware. But some people get kind of anxious, right, for the holidays. There's lots to do. We have to clean the house and get the food and prepare everything.
I was telling my guest here just when we talked just a moment ago here that I had one of those 3:30 kind of wake up calls. The alarm didn't go off. I just woke up and was thinking about, I gotta do this, and thought, I should just practice the conversation today because we're going to talk about how to worry less and live more.
Good, timely for a lot of us, probably. Yeah.
Well, it is. I think you were thinking about, all right, do I have everything I need? Maybe you got travel plans coming up. By the way, just looking ahead on Thanksgiving Day, we're going to talk about the family table. You know, sitting around the table, this is kind of a rarity. You know, maybe you do it at the holidays, but maybe no other time. And so we're going to find out about how to come to the family table to slow down, enjoy food, each other, and Jesus. That's a conversation with Ted Cunningham on Thanksgiving Day. Tomorrow, we'll get a look at the pilgrims and their epic voyage. In fact, we're going to talk about the forgotten epic adventure of the pilgrims with Jay Mildred.
Fascinating history there.
Yeah.
That's good.
We're going to get to all that. But today, it's don't worry. That's our word for today.
In fact, easier said than done.
Well, it is. So we're going to go to probably one of the key passages in the scripture and just dive in with Pastor Rob Morgan. Rob's pastor at Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, Tennessee. And he's served there for about 3 decades, best-selling author, written some 20-plus books. And we always love the opportunity to get together with Rob anytime we can. And his latest is called Worry Less, Live More, God's Prescription for a Better Life. Rob, good to have you back on Connecting Faith.
Thank you, Neil. It's always a joy to be with you.
You know, it was interesting. You start out, talk about the book, and this will be an opportunity for us to kind of dive into Philippians 4, which is a familiar passage to us, but it was interesting. You noted that, when we do Google searches and search for verses in the Bible, that it's not Psalm 23 or John 3:16 that come up most often. What does that say about us when the verses that we're searching are talking about worry?
Yeah, the most highlighted verses in America on e-books when they survey Bibles is this Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And I really thought that the most highlighted verse in e-Bibles would be John 3:16 or maybe the 23rd Psalm, but it is this verse, and it speaks to the fact that people are worried today, they are tense, they're under a lot of stress, and they need the message of Philippians chapter 4 and of verse 6 and of the paragraph that surrounds it. I think, Neil, that the paragraph that goes from verses 4 through 9 in Philippians 4 is the Bible's definitive passage about worry and anxiety.
Before we dive into that, I know you have a bent toward worry, and I think I probably do as well. Are we predisposed to worry, or do we maybe inherit a worry gene?
Well, yes and no. I think everybody has a lot to be worried about today. Just living with the uncertainty of life, with all of the pressures of our families, with the concerns we have for our loved ones, with the financial strain that a lot of people are under, there is something for everyone to be worried about. And we make the most of it. But some of us, I think, are particularly vulnerable to worry. And in my case, I do think I have a genetic predisposition for anxiety that comes from my mother's line of the family. And a lot of people do. we become very anxious. We have panic attacks. We have symptoms which are both short-term and long-term in their effect. In fact, anxiety disorders are the leading mental illness in America, and it's not just true for older people. There was a report just 2 weeks ago in the New York Times that anxiety now has eclipsed depression as the leading mental illness among college students and even among high schoolers. So we're just living in a very anxious age. We all have a lot to be worried about, and some of us, for various reasons, worry or deal with anxiety more than others, and I'm definitely one of those people.
You know, it was interesting as we look through Philippians 4 and learn a little bit more about this wonderful passage. We assume that the Apostle Paul never worried, or at least didn't let it get to him, but you share a passage out of 2 Corinthians that maybe suggests otherwise.
I do believe the Apostle Paul struggled with anxiety. We certainly know that he was high-strung, and 2 Corinthians is the most autobiographical of all of his writings. He talks about all that he was going through, and he says in chapter 2 that on one occasion he went to the city of Troas, which was a wonderful opportunity for him to plant a church, and he said, the doors were wide open for me to preach the gospel, and that's what I went there for, he said. But he was so obsessed and distracted with anxieties over what was happening in his signature work in Corinth, he said, I just couldn't focus on it. I had no peace of mind. I went on to Macedonia, but he said, in Macedonia, I had fears on the inside and pressures on the outside, and it's as though he just couldn't function because of these worries that were distracting him. So I do think the Apostle Paul, when he later wrote Philippians chapter 4, was writing out of his own personal experience and telling us, here are some of the things that have helped me.
You know, the passage that we want to focus on starts out with rejoice in the Lord always, and we tend to stop, that's verse 4, and we tend to stop at verse 8, where, you know, finally, brothers, whatever is true, noble, right, and pure. And but you include verse 9 in there, and in fact say there's instruct a little phrase at the end of the paragraph in verse 9 that we should pay attention to, and really provides the setting for your dive into this chapter.
Well, it's very clear. I just want everybody to read Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, and see what a concentrated and compact passage this is. In chapter 4 and verse 9, Paul ends this passage by saying, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Well, verse number 6 talks about the peace of God. But here in verse number 9, he says, the God of peace will be with you. So this is all one integrated passage. And Paul is saying there are some things here that you need to put into practice. And I've extrapolated 8 different practices from Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. And these 8 practices have helped me so much. I know they're true because I have field tested them in my own life. The best way to worry less and to live more is to begin cultivating the habits that Paul outlines here in a passage that I think was very personal to him.
Well, as you talk about cultivating habits, I mean, is worry and anxiety, is it, part of it that we could actually cultivate and learn, we could practice another way?
Yes, there are mental habits at play there. There are emotional habits at play there. There may even be chemical and psychological patterns that are at play there. And we've got to reverse those things. When Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, those are huge words, Neil. I mean, those are words that are infinite. Nothing and everything. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation. So the Lord here is giving us the kind of lifestyle which we'll perfectly experience in heaven. But now on the way to heaven, we should be growing in this ability to trust Him more and to stagger under the worries and the anxieties of life less and less. So I think these are habits and patterns that we've got to retrain ourselves to follow.
Well, in the moments ahead, we're going to dive in, and hopefully by the end of our conversation with Rob Morgan, you'll have a fresh new sense of this key passage, Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. We're going to review it. We're going to dive into it, dissect it a bit, and pull out some wonderful lessons. Worry less, live more. God's prescription for a better life is the title of Rob Morgan's new book. We've got some copies to give away. You can sign up for it at 877-933-2484. Just in time for the maybe the worry season, huh? 877-933-2484. Rob Morgan, pastor of Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, best-selling author and a good friend of Faith Radio. We're glad to have some time with him today, so stick around for more. Oftentimes we let worry bury us. How do we bury worry before it buries us? We're talking about today with Rob Morgan, pastor of Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville. He's written a new book called Worry Less, Live More, God's Prescription for a Better Life. And we're going to find out some practices out of Philippians 4, verse 4 through 9. And of course, we kind of recognize this song. It became very popular back in the 80s or so. But Rob, this is not this prescription from Paul the Apostle is not a don't worry, be happy sort of thing, is it?
Happy is a very wonderful little motto that makes us feel better, but it doesn't have any truth or theology or sustaining power behind it. And it's better to adopt for your motto what Paul said at the beginning of this passage about worry when he says in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice." And rejoicing is a lot better and deeper than happiness. Happiness is an emotion, and emotions come and go. That, you know, it's just the word motion with an E on the front of it. But attitudes come and grow, and joy is an attitude. And this is a commandment when the Lord says here, rejoice in me always. And I will tell you this one more time, rejoice. This is something that he is telling us to do. It is a command to obey, which means that there is an element of willpower. We have to make up our minds to rejoice, like the verse that says, this is the day the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it. Or like James said, count it all joy.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that sometimes we're so familiar with this passage, we sort of just brush through it, rejoice in the Lord always, but those little three words, in the Lord, that's a key part of this, isn't it?
Yes, we cannot always rejoice in our load, but we can always rejoice in our Lord. And, you know, I had an experience, Neil, of coming home to face a set of problems on the airplane. I was distraught about it, but while I was there in my seat and I had the tray table down, I took out my Bible and I just started writing down verses about joy, and I came up with 15 of them pretty easily. And it's as though the Lord said to me, now if you go back and you're all anxious and tense and depressed, then you're going to make the situation better. But if you go back and you say, God is in control, I may not be able to rejoice in all of my circumstances, but I can rejoice in the fact that he is and that he is in control, and you bound off that plane and you're smiling and you're filled with me, then that situation is going to get better. And, you know, that was a huge lesson for me. And I think that's what Paul is telling us here when he tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. We just have to make up our minds that we're going to be cheerful because of our relationship with him, regardless of what may be happening around us.
Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. The next line says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. You know, Rob, when I read that, I was thinking, well, how does gentleness relate to diminished anxiety? It seems almost like that verse is out of place.
Oh, this is so brilliant, the way that Paul the Apostle put these things together. He knew that anxiety is very often caused by relationships, people that we love, people that are in our families, our children, or our husband, or our wife, or our parents, or maybe church members, or maybe people that we work with. And when we are harsh, and everybody seems to be getting more and more shrill today, you can just listen to it on television or listen to the people around you when you're out and about. People are angry, they are harsh, they are shouting, and everybody's tension goes up. And when you walk into a room and you're angry or irritated about something, or you go into a meeting and you're frustrated about something, everybody's anxiety levels goes up. But when we learn to practice what Proverbs 15 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, and we try to exercise gentleness, which is, after all, among the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, then it lowers the temperature, and our anxiety levels in our homes or wherever we are, those are improved upon because of this practice of gentleness.
Well, the next chapter is the practice of nearness, because that's the next line. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. You mentioned, writing some verses on the plane. Are there some good ways that we can practice the nearness of God? What should that look like?
Well, this is a key phrase, and if you think about the passage itself, the Apostle Paul could have left this out and we would never have known. He could have said, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, and do not be anxious about anything. But he adds this little phrase here, four words, the Lord is near. And when you go through the Bible, over and over again we are told that we should not fear. And anxiety is a form of fear. We have panic attacks. We have phobias. We get torn up in our minds. We feel like our minds are being shredded. And if we will take time to practice and visualize the presence of God, then that helps us a lot. When I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm afraid about something or anxiety gets hold of my mind, then I very often start quoting Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. So if anyone listening is in trouble, well, that's good because you qualify for that verse. God is your help in trouble, but he's your present help right here and right now. And not only that, he is your very present help in trouble. So the passage here is very clear. The Lord is near, therefore do not be anxious about anything. When God is with you and when God is in you, then the need we have to be afraid in life is considerably diminished.
Well, I was thinking, too, that the Scriptures use the word near about the Lord is near in terms of his soon return, and that can make a difference, too, in how we face the cares and concerns of our day.
Yes, commentators are divided about whether this phrase is primarily referring to the coming of the nearness of the Lord's coming or to the nearness of the Lord's presence. And I'm interested in the way the translations translate this, some sort of tilted in one direction, some in the other. But, Neil, both are true. The Lord's coming is nearer now than it's ever been before. Whatever it is we're worried about, we're not going to be worried about that 100 years from now. Either the Lord is coming back or we're going to be with him. All of our worries are temporary. All of our blessings are eternal. Although for those in the world who don't know Christ, the opposite is true. All of their blessings are temporary. All of their worries are eternal. But everything changes when we remember that the Lord is near.
Mm. We're diving into Philippians 4:4-9, the next verse. We know it well. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayers and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. How are you doing, Rob, at that pray about everything thing? Because it seems like we struggle with that as believers.
Well, I've had a pattern for many years that helps me a lot. When I wake up in the morning, and my wife is disabled, so I get her out of bed and ready for the day, and I'll shower and I take my cup of coffee to a little desk that I have in a spare room upstairs, and this is where I meet with the Lord every morning. And I'll study his word, and then I'll open my prayer. I have a little prayer journal with my prayer requests, and everything or anything that is worrying me, I just list there and I pray about it. And at night, when my work is behind me, before I go to bed, I'll very often sit down at that same desk and say, Lord, here are the burdens that could keep me awake all night, but I'm going to give them to you, and I'll search out some scriptures that I'm going to go to sleep with. And this daily time of prayer to me is, well, it's what keeps me sane. And I think that this is what Jesus meant when he said that we're to go into our secret room or into our closet and close the door and talk to our Father who is in secret. He knows what we need before we ask him, but when we meet with him in secret, he rewards us openly. So I don't know that you can overcome anxiety or worry without really developing strong personal habits of prayer.
You mentioned your wife, and I, you just alluded to it at the end of the book, that she is not the worrier that you are. How does that work? Has it helped to live with a wife who doesn't worry as much as you do?
Oh, yes, yes. I don't know what I would have done if she worried the way that I do. I come to her sometimes, and I'll say, I'm just torn up about this. I'm so worried I can't think. System is all torn up, my mind is all torn up. And she said, well, do you think the Lord can't take care of this? She said, it's all going to be all right. The Lord's going to deal with this. He's given you promises. What's wrong with you? You need to trust him. And I'll say, well, I'm trying to trust. And she said, well, you're either trying or you're trusting, but they're mutually exclusive. And she always encourages me to trust the Lord. And one of the verses I keep coming back to is that verse in Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And sometimes I'll just repeat that over and over again. I'm in the grip of worry, but the Lord wants us to trust him with all our heart. And sometimes the right people in our lives can help us to do that.
Mm. Well, we only got just about 30 seconds left, but I'm wondering, is there a word of encouragement maybe for a spouse? If you're the spouse that isn't the worrier, how can you are there some ways that we can best encourage the worrier in our relationship?
We need reassurance all the time. So if you're married to someone, or maybe you have a child that is dealing with anxiety issues, give a lot of reassurance. And as a part of that reassurance, quote scriptures that are comforting in nature. You don't want to just quote them capriciously, but at the right time and in the right way and with the right attitude, give a word of encouragement, because we've never needed that more than in our society right now.
Rob Morgan's giving us some wonderful teaching from his new book, Worry Less, Live More, God's Prescription for a Better Life. We're dissecting a very important passage, a key passage in all the Bible. It's Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9, and we have more to dig into in just a moment. Of course, Thanksgiving Day is just a couple of days away, and there's an important little phrase in this passage, with Thanksgiving. We'll get Rob's perspective on that. Rob Morgan from Donaldson Fellowship joining us today on Connecting Faith. We've got some copies of the book to give away. Call us at 877-933-2484 to be part of the drawing. 877-93-FAITH.
I won't let it haunt me. I won't let it win. I'm not going to ruminate or cast my cares on you. You're the anchor of my hope, the only one who's in control. I will cast my cares on you. I'll trade the troubles of this world for your peace inside my soul.
Well, that's certainly true, isn't it? There are plenty of troubles in the world, but we can trade them for the peace of God that passes all understanding. In fact, we'll get to that in a moment as we've been doing a little deep dive into Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. It is, as Rob Morgan says, perhaps the premier passage in the Scriptures on worry and anxiety. And he's written about it in his new book, Worry Less, Live More, God's Prescription for a Better Life. Rob's a pastor at Donaldson Fellowship and a best-selling author and speaks around the country. And we're honored to have him with us today on Connecting Faith. And, Rob, we've been going through the verses, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. It's not just Thanksgiving Day that we should be thankful. Say more about with thanksgiving.
Well, there is never a day before Thanksgiving and never a day after Thanksgiving. Every day is Thanksgiving. And Paul, in this little passage, put those two words in verse 6. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And those two words really make a difference in our perspective. I remember reading how Ruth Bell Graham, Billy Graham's wife, who was a mentor of mine many years ago, she talked about being overseas, and one morning she woke up about 4 o'clock. She had a bolt of lightning strike her in the form of worry, and she got up so concerned about things and opened the Bible to this passage, and those two words, with thanksgiving. She said, I recognize that's what I had been neglecting. And so she said, I worked through my problem and thought of everything that I could be thankful for in the middle of that problem. And she said, it's as though the light came on and all the little bugs that were burrowing into my heart scampered away. And so this is a real art. This is a habit to develop, is looking around in any given set of circumstances and saying, what is there in this that I can be thankful for? It changes the way, just the way that we feel, the way it changes our happiness levels.
In fact, you talk about that. There's even scientific research that backs up the value of gratitude. And, boy, that seems like if we want to have good health, as opposed to anxiety attacks, gratitude would be a lot better.
The University of California, Davis, has devoted a great deal of time to this with research. And they have determined, particularly Dr. Robert Emmons, who's a professor there, that the only known way psychologically to change your biological set point of happiness is by developing techniques of gratitude. And there's been so much written on it, and to me it's a little amusing that academia spends hundreds of thousands of dollars researching something only to discover that what the Bible said long ago was correct after all.
Yeah, that's for a whole another topic, another conversation perhaps if we get into that. But so we're working through Philippians 4. Let's review. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We're going to circle back to that. But the next sentence, Paul says, finally, brothers and sisters, and then he launches into that important verse 8. So is the finally, does this mean that thinking is the most important thing?
Well, I think he is coming up onto a climax here, and you can tell it if you study this passage very carefully. And he is saying that whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, these are the things that you should focus your mind on. Anxiety and worry is primarily mental. Our minds are overtaken by our problems and just torn apart by those problems. And one of the ways of countering that is by forcing our minds to begin contemplating God and Scripture. Because what is lovely and right and pure and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy? Well, God and His Word are. And to me, this is the most important single prescription in my experience, because when I become distraught about something, I have to go into the Bible and I search through that until there are verses there, words from God, passages that help me in that particular situation, and I have to focus my mind on them. And as we focus our mind on these truths, well, what happens is that He will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on Him. Or as it says in Romans chapter 8, the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace.
Well, I so love that too. As Paul says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I mean, we can't begin to fully understand, I guess, the math equation of how this actually works.
Now, the word transcends implies that the peace of God is unexplainable in human terms. How we can live in this world of woe And yet, in the middle of crises, we have peace because of the sovereignty of God, the throne of God above our heads, and the truth of God in our hands. The peace that we can experience is incapable of being described. It transcends all human understanding. And when it says, will guard your hearts and minds, that's a military word. It will serve as a sentinel, as a military guard in front of your mind and in front of your emotions, the peace of God.
And I think that's, as you say, I mean, worry sort of creeps in around the edges, but to have that sentinel standing front and center, that can make all the difference.
Yes, and it's not only the peace of God we have, but it's the God of peace. Mm. Both phrases are used here, and you know, Neil, the one thing that is better then the transcendent peace of God is the transcending God of peace.
Love that. We're talking with Rob Morgan today about his new book, Worry Less, Live More. It's a dive into Philippians 4 through 9. As we mentioned, we tend to stop at verse 8. Whatever is true, noble, whatever is right, what is pure, lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. But then you include the verse 9, that whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. Say more about why this is a key part of this passage.
Well, because he goes on to say, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. So he wraps everything up and ties the passage together with this verse 9. And I think what Paul is saying is, I'm a worrier just like you. I can be anxious just like you, but here are the things that I have learned, and so what you have seen me put into practice, you put these things into practice too, and the God of peace will be with you. And what that's saying to me is that when I am worried and anxious, when I see or find someone around me who is handling the situation better, I need to learn from them. If there is someone who I look at them when they're under stress, and they are composed, they are strong, and they are trusting God, then what are they doing that I am not doing? One of the ways that we learn is by examples, being mentored, being discipled by those who are doing things better, walking with the Lord better than we are. So there is something here about dealing with anxiety that we can learn from other people who can help us, and that's why I've included the practice of discipleship as one of these eight ingredients.
I think we sometimes, you know, think, well, we're not like the Apostle Paul, so, you know, do we dare tell someone else, say, what you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me? I mean, those are, you know, we kind of end up feel like we have to bare our souls and let others maybe into, you know, the deep recesses.
Well, it's very hopeful when you're going through an anxious time, if someone will come and put their arm around your shoulder and give you reassurance, and they are composed and they are peaceful and they have a good perspective and they're looking at God and they're trusting the Lord, and somehow you can sort of soak that in from somebody else and it influences you. And when you can do that to somebody else, that's a powerful ministry. And the Bible tells us we're to encourage one another. And so we badly need other people coming along and helping us when we are in anxious times and enabling us, encouraging us to trust the Lord more.
So we talk about the God of peace will be with you. Just touched on it a little bit, but I mean, is that a guarantee that there's a promise of peace and we can be confident of that?
Yes. All the way through the Bible, we have this description of God's peace, and maybe the people listening today know John chapter 14 and verse 27, when Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And Neil, I think sometimes it's helpful when we're in an anxious place just to imagine that Jesus was physically standing beside us, looking at us, putting his arm around our shoulder, and speaking those words with our name in the sentence and giving them to us as a legacy. Because that's exactly what happens when we read the Bible and we find a verse like this and we claim it. So God is a God of peace. He is referred to repeatedly. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. And when we are in a sustained pattern of anxiety and worry, then I think it doesn't serve as a very good testimony for our Lord. Now, all of us, you know, we become anxious, we panic, we have moments of alarm, but we shouldn't stay in a condition like that. I think what the Apostle Paul is saying here isn't you should never be worried, but it's whenever you are worried, here are the things to do. And as we do these things and we work our way through this passage and the other similar passages in the Bible that talk about worry, fear, and anxiety, then the God of peace has promised that he will be with us and he will give us composure and he will give us strength sufficient for every need.
Love that good word from Robert Morgan. His latest book is called Worry Less, Live More, God's Prescription for a Better Life. And it's just a nice deep dive into a familiar passage, maybe one of the most familiar passages to us, Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. And I would encourage you to just open up your Bible and read that once again if it's been a while, and just let those words soak over you today. Rob, we always appreciate the opportunity to get together with you. We're so blessed to have you join us, and thank you for continuing to pastor and counsel and write and encourage us day by day.
Thank you, Neil. God bless you.
Rob Morgan, pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, Tennessee, best-selling author, talking about Worry Less, Live More. Got some copies to give away. You can sign up for a copy at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. And coming up in a moment, we're going to hear from Miriam Neff from Widow Connection, talk about her new book called Not Alone.
You're in the valleys, all of your burdens, you carry alone.
Listening to Connecting Faith, and it's not long until we have a gathering of family and friends around the holiday, and oftentimes this can be a difficult season for those that have recently lost a loved one. And we're going to talk specifically about widows for the next few minutes as we welcome Miriam Neff to the program. Miriam is founder and president of Widow Connection. It's a nonprofit ministry. She has a radio feature called New Beginnings, and she's a frequent speaker, does actually a lot of projects for widows in Africa and Albania, as well as Bible study teaching, and has written several books. I want to recommend them to you. Where Do I Go From Here? Bold Living After Change, From One Widow to Another, Conversations on the New You. Her latest, though, is the subtitle is 11 Inspiring Stories of Courageous Widows from the Bible. It's called Not Alone. Marian, welcome back to Connecting Faith. Just say a bit about this study. I know you've done Bible study teaching for many years. So what did you find in the Bible about the widows that you highlighted?
Well, the deeper I dug into these stories, and I was especially teaching them in other cultures because the stories translate from the United States to Albania to Africa, and the deeper I dug into these women's lives, the more I saw this incredible courage, and I wanted to be like them. And I'm not saying I wanted their life. Their lives were hard. Their lives had all the unexpected change. It had death, of course. It had murder. But I thought, and I began to actually want to live in their world, not literally, but as you begin to care about them more and see God's help for them and how much he loved them and cared for them, I thought, you know, these stories need to be told as if these women were talking. And I think this particular season, as we go into the holidays, many people feel that they're alone. They think no one else has experienced what they have. Nobody's gone through that hardship. And one of the things we learn from each of these women, you are never alone. You may think that, you may feel that, but God has something unique for you, and I would say wonderful, although I didn't think that immediately after Bob went to heaven, but it's a fact of Scripture. I just love digging deeply into these women's lives.
The title of the book is called Not Alone, and it's a brand new from Miriam Neff from Widow Connection, and I want to just get the website out for her resources as well. WidowConnection.com is a great place to find the resources. You'll find more about this book. And we do have a couple of copies we'll give away here at the top of the hour as well. So you can sign up for that via email at myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page, and we'll do the email drawing today. Miriam, as you know, we know the scriptures, James particularly talks about, you know, true religion is caring for widows and orphans. Talk about what you see going on in churches today and how we could do a better job of caring for the widows in our communities and in congregations.
Well, I think we've talked about this a little bit before, but what I know is that in the first year after a person's husband departs the planet, that widow, 50% of them are not in the church they were in with their husband. This is sad. It shouldn't be that way. And when I became a widow, I looked for resources and couldn't find any. And that's when God taps you on the shoulder and says, okay, what are you going to do about that? And what I believe is that churches care about us, but they don't know how to stay connected. They don't know how to...
We'll hear more from Miriam Neff here in just a moment, talking about her her experiences. WidowConnection.com is the website, and the book is called Not Alone. Not Alone, the subtitle is 11 Inspiring Stories of Courageous Widows from the Bible. Everybody's there, but when a loved one is missing, talk about the unique aspects of holiday gatherings.
One of the things I say to other women like myself, or to people listening that might be divorced or lost someone in a relationship or a child, I say, guard your expectations. Just lower your expectations. It's not going to be like it was before. It just isn't. No matter how much you try and how much you plan, it's going to be different. Lower your expectations. And the other thing is, don't hesitate to mention the person's name, even if it brings tears. or, you know, serve that dish that no one would eat but them, like Bob liked marshmallows on sweet potatoes. Why would we do that? You know, you do things and you do them with meaning and realize it isn't going to be all joyful. It's not going to be the way it was, and you will get through it. Sometimes the hardest part is dreading it ahead of time, and you get through, and things change, and families shake like, well, a big branch has been torn out of the family tree, so it's going to have its moments of pain, but it will have its moments of delight and comfort as well.
Do we, as children, trying to encourage mom maybe during this season, do we do things that are inappropriate or that we could do better? I think, as you say, don't be afraid to just speak of those that have gone on.
Well, and ask that person, what would comfort you this time? What would you like? Sometimes we think we have the grand idea. Just ask with an open mind. Maybe they want to serve somewhere Thanksgiving morning with you rather than everyone come over for coffee. They might want to do something different. Ask, say, what would you like to do? And be ready to change things a bit. I know our family did some things differently for a couple of years, and now we're back to the traditions we had with Bob, but we couldn't quite do that to begin with. So be willing to flex.
And as you mentioned, this is something that's going to take some years, and I'm sure maybe year two wasn't any easier than year one.
It's harder. Year one, you're kind of numb, and year two, numb wears off, and you want numb back because it's like, oh, this is, now the reality settles in, and every year is different. And I can say now, Neil, I have a blessed life, a contented, a joyful life. That's what God does, but sometimes you don't see that in the moment.
Is there maybe a word of encouragement for those that are in the season of grief and say, is there light here? Will I ever see, experience life to the full again?
Well, I'll share Jeremiah 29:11, which I'm sure you and many of your listeners know. It's so true. God has plans for you. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. And we think with this loss, maybe the plan fell apart. No, the plan did not fall apart. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. That is as true in your deepest, darkest moment as it is in your joyful, blessed moment. That's God's plan. And in Philippians 1:6, he says he's going to complete the plan on the day of Jesus Christ, not necessarily the day we think the plan is done, but the plan after the loss is as much to honor God and build the kingdom as before, because that's how God is.
Miriam Neff joining us today for just a few minutes to bring some encouragement to widows and families that are maybe facing holidays with a different situation because of a loved one gone before. You can find out more about the wonderful resources that she has, many things available online at widowconnection.com, widowconnection.com. And again, the new book just came out called Not Alone, 11 Inspiring Stories of Courageous Widows from the Bible. You'll want to get a copy of this. You can find that on widowconnection.com. And we're also giving a couple of copies away. So if you go to myfaithradio.com and click on the Connecting Faith show page, you can sign up there and we'll have an email drawing. Miriam, blessings to you, not only this holiday season, but in the days ahead as God gives you more opportunities to serve and to encourage others along the way.
Always good to join you, Neil.
Miriam Neff is founder and president of Widow Connection. It's a nonprofit ministry, and I encourage you to check out her website, widowconnection.com, widowconnection.com. And again, her new book is called Not Alone, 11 Inspiring Stories of Courageous Widows from the Bible. And we will do an email drawing so you can sign up for that. If you'd like to be in the drawing for Marion's new book, you can just go to the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com and use the email tab there to connect with us. If you missed part of today's conversation with Miriam or with Robert Morgan from earlier today about Worry Less, Live More, you'll find those interviews posted on our show page, the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening to this Connecting Faith podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support, and you can make a gift right now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Connecting Faith, you can subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the awareness and impact of Connecting Faith.